with you this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Book of Luke, chapter number 15 is where we'll find a thought for this morning. The past few homecomings, I've had men come in and preach to us and preach for us. But I just felt like this year that the Lord wanted us just to do the preaching. And He laid a message on my heart many days ago for this morning. And so I want to just take a minute and give you what God has given to me. And I would appreciate your prayers if you'd pray for me this morning. And hopefully the Lord will take these few thoughts and help somebody with them today. If you're in Luke 15, I'm going to invite you to stand with us and stretch your legs out. Get the blood flowing and moving. And that way you won't be nodding off while I'm preaching. And that'll be a good thing. I don't want to have to throw a songbook at somebody on homecoming. But I will do it, just so you know. I will do it. Amen. And then if that don't work, I'll put you in the back of the line when we go next door to eat. And that's an even worse punishment. Amen. Luke chapter number 15. And I want to read a couple verses in the middle of the chapter. And then we're going to skip a few and read a couple verses more. And then take these verses as a springboard and develop a thought for this morning. Okay? Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. The Bible says in verse 11, He said, speaking of Christ, and He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You're all familiar with this story, the story of the prodigal son. But I want you to drop down to verse number 25. Verse 25 says, Now his elder son was in the field. He came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. God, I thank you for the opportunity to take the Word of God and use it to preach the Word of God to these people. And I pray, Father, that you would help us for a few minutes. God, clothe us in our calling and help us to do what you've put in our heart to do. I pray, God, that you would help somebody. Lord, there's no doubt under the sound of my voice this morning, there's somebody that needs the message that we're about to preach. God, I pray that you'd preach it to them, because I'm incapable. I ask it in Christ's name. And amen, you can be seated. I encourage you to leave your Bible open. We'll return to this passage of Scripture momentarily. Undoubtedly, Luke chapter 15 is one of the most famous chapters in the entire Word of God. In fact, in Luke chapter 15, we see all three members of the Trinity, all three members of the Godhead at work in the way of salvation. We read in Luke chapter 15 the story of the lost sheep. And in this story, we see the work of God the Son. As God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, goes out and looks for those that are lost until He finds them and brings them back to the fold. Then we see the story of the lost silver. And in the story of the lost silver, we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the work of salvation. As God the Holy Spirit illuminates the house or illuminates the heart until that lost soul is found. And then in the story of the lost son, we see the work of God the Father in the way of salvation. In fact, there's no greater illustration of John 3:16 than Luke chapter number 15. And there we watch as the loving Father longs and waits for His Son to come home. And when the Son does come home, the Father cleans Him up, welcomes Him back into the family, and makes Him an heir of all things. And while all three of these stories are well known, undoubtedly the last story, or the story of the prodigal son, is the most well known.
It is the story of a son who comes to age, who leaves home, and who ruins his life. I think the reason this story is so embraced is because this story reminds us many times of our story. Many people can identify with this rebellious young man. They have come of age. They have went into the world and they have fell to the trap of sin. This story, however, is not just the story of one son, but it is the story of two sons. And this is not the prodigal son singular, but it is the prodigal sons plural. There are two sons. And by the time this story is over, both sons will become prodigal. Both sons will break their father's heart, and both sons will need forgiveness. I believe in these two sons, we can all see a picture of ourselves. I believe that all of us can see a picture of ourselves in this younger son. For we have all been sinners, and we've all been away from God. We were sinners by nature. We were born into sin. Adam, our first father, sinned, and because he sinned, sin was imputed unto us. And all of us were made sinners because Adam was a sinner. But more than that, not only were you a sinner because Adam was a sinner, you are a sinner by choice. You choose to sin. You knowingly and willingly have rebelled against God and turned your back against God. And you, like the youngest son, have left God for a far country. The Bible says in Romans 3, no man searcheth after God and no man seeketh after God. You are a rebel and you are a sinner and you are away from God. And you can identify with this younger son. In fact, can I take just a moment and say something today? Everybody under the sound of my voice is one of two categories. You are all sinners. The only difference is this. Some of you have been to Calvary and you have asked God to forgive you of your sins and you are not bearing the weight of your sin any longer. But God has taken that sin from you. He has nailed it to His cross. He has washed it in His blood and He has made you white as snow. Some of you are saved. And others are still bearing the weight of your sins on your own. You either saved or lost today, friend. There's no middle ground. There's no in between. You're saved or you're lost. And all of us are sinners, so we can all identify with the first son. But I would like to say that some of us can even identify with the second son, the eldest son. You see, some of us have been saved. Some of us have come to God and been saved. But at the same time, there have been times in our life that we have rebelled against God. We have turned our backs on God. We have broken the Father's heart, if you'll let me say it that way. Oh, we have not gone into the far country, but we have strayed from God nonetheless. This morning, I want you to think about it like this. One son was away from the Father's house in a far country, and the other son was away from the Father's house in his heart. But make no mistake about it, they were both away from God. They both needed to come back to the Father. They both needed to come home. And then with that thought in mind, on this homecoming Sunday morning, I want to preach on this thought. Come home. Come home. This morning, if you're here and you're lost, I beg you to come to God today. This morning, if you're here and you're saved, but you have strayed from God, I want to beg you to come back to God. This morning, I want to preach on the thought, come home. And I want us to look at both these sons. I want you to notice three things out of our text. I want you to see this, number one. I want you to see their condition. I want you to see their condition. The Lord in chapter 15 begins to paint a picture for us. This picture is of two sons that are away from their father. In fact, we oftentimes call this the parable or the story of the prodigal son. I believe we could call this instead the story of the loving father. You see, the word prodigal means wasteful, and there was certainly a wasteful son in chapter 15. But I believe the great story of chapter 15 is the story of a loving father. I believe the love of the Father was so great that His love was even greater than the rebellion of His sons. In fact, it is the Father's love that the youngest son will remember when he is at the lowest point of his life, and it is the love of the Father that will draw him back to the house. Allow me to mention something to you this morning. Our God's still a loving God. A lot of times we question God and we'll say things like this: how in the world could God send anybody to hell? Can I say to you that God does not willingly send anybody to hell? The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our God is a loving Father who would love nothing more than to receive you this morning. He would love nothing more than to save you, to welcome you back home this morning. And if you die and go to hell, you'll die and go to hell a rebel outside the will of God. That is not what God wants for you. God wants you to be saved, and God wants you to be right. God wants you to be in fellowship. That's what the loving Father wants. Amen. Oh, we see the loving Father. And God is our loving Father who would love nothing more than to receive all men. The problem is not with the Father. The problem is with us. I want you to notice this about the first son, their condition. I want you to see that one of them was lost in a far country. One of them was lost in a far country. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now, according to Jewish law, we know a couple things about the way that they handled their inheritance. We know, first of all, that the eldest son was to receive twice as much inheritance as all the other sons. We know that. But we also know, according to that same law, that it was perfectly legal for a father to distribute his wealth to his sons while he was still living. Therefore, it was perfectly legal for this youngest son to say to his father, "I want you to give me what's coming to me." Now, that was a legal thing to do, but that was not a very loving thing to do. For in doing so, he was basically saying this to his father: "I wish you was dead." That's what he's saying when he says, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." He is basically saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." Hey, I'm telling you, this was a rebellious young man. He says to his father, "I want you to give me what is coming to me." And having received his inheritance, the Bible tells us that he leaves home and there he travels to a far country. Now, I want to say something right here, and I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. I want everybody to hear what I'm about to say. Oftentimes, when we think about a far country, we think about it being a great distance away from home, do we not? We think about that far country being a long way off. But can I say to you, friend, that the far country can be just as close as in your very heart? You see, Brother Scott, I believe that before this boy ever got the guts to say to Dad, "Give me what's coming to me," before he ever got the guts to leave home and leave his family, there were many days before that that he went to the far country in his heart. There were many days where he sat and pondered what it'd be like if he could just leave home. There were many days he thought, "If I could just get what is coming to me, and I could get out from my old man, and I could get out from these rules, and I could get out of this house, oh, I'd have it made. I'd do it my way. I'd do things the way I want to do them. I'd be my own man. And I'd be my own boss. Nobody would tell me what to do." And he went to the far country many times in his heart before he ever walked out the door and traveled to that distant country. And can I say to you, friend, that you better guard your heart. You better guard your heart. Can I say to some teenager, can I say to some young person, can I say to somebody today that you better guard your heart, because when your heart starts going to the far country, it will not be long before your feet follow. Amen. That's exactly right. The Lord said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you're looking to that distant country, if you're looking to that far country, it will not be long before your heart leads you there. You see, the youngest son dreamed about the far country days before he actually went there. Life in the far country, however, was not all that he dreamed it would be. It did not take long for his funds to leave, his friends to leave, and famine to find him. And when the glitter of the far country wore off, this boy was left with nothing but a broken life, an empty belly, and a situation that he never dreamed he would find himself in. He never thought it would get this bad. He never thought it would get to this point. He never believed that money would run out and that he would be in a hog pen with an empty stomach thinking, if I could have some of that slop, I'd eat it. If somebody would just give me some of that slop, he never thought he would get there. When he dreamed of the far country, that wasn't the dream, but the dream become a nightmare. And can I say to you, friend, that's the way that sin works and that's the way that sin operates. The devil will put something inside of your heart and he'll get you to begin to lust after that thing and long after that thing, and he'll begin to draw your heart away to the far country. But what he does not tell you is there is shipwreck and there is destruction and there is heartache and there's a broken life and there's a broken home and there are broken dreams at the end of that road that leads to the far country. He doesn't tell you that, but the far country will not be what you dreamed it would be. There are some people that were raised up in church. They were raised up maybe even in this church. And in their life, they got to the point where they could make some decisions for themselves. And they dreamed of a far country inside of their heart. And they went to that far country and found that it was not what they thought it would be. Sin always promises freedom, but sin always brings slavery. Sin will promise you success, but it will bring you to ruin. Romans 6:23, still in the Bible. For the wages of sin is death. The boy who thought he would find himself ended up losing himself. I see that one of them was lost in a far country. But watch this. Verse 28, I believe that one of them was lost in the Father's house. And he was angry and would not go in. Where is he not going in? Father's house. I believe when Jesus finished this story of the prodigal son, no doubt the publicans and the Pharisees that he was preaching this message to, according to verse 1 and verse 2, I believe they all probably wiped their brow and slung off the sweat and said, I'm glad that one wasn't about us. You see, they weren't the publican and the sinner, so they did not identify with the youngest son. And they said, we missed the message today. But Jesus doesn't finish the story with a prodigal son, the youngest son. He begins to tell about it, another boy. Another son. A son that is a picture of religion. You see, the younger son was guilty of the sin of the flesh, but the eldest son was guilty of the sins of the spirit. Oh, the youngest son sinned on the outside for everybody to see, but the eldest son, he sinned on the inside where nobody else could see. Consider this with me about the oldest son. He worked hard. He always obeyed his father. He never brought disgrace to his home. In fact, if you was to compare him to his little brother, you would say he is a saint. I think we could all say the older brother was righteous, but his righteousness was self-righteousness. He was quick to openly announce the sins of his brother, but he could not see the sin in his own life. You know what I believe his sin was? I believe it's the sin of pride. It is clear that he always obeyed his father. It is clear that he faithfully served him for many years. But it is also clear that his heart was not where it needed to be. He was like the prophet Jonah, who went into Nineveh and did what God said to do and then sit under a gourd and pouted because God didn't kill the whole lot of them. And now this older brother, he has faithfully served dad for many years, but his heart has never been in it. I want to say something to somebody this morning. It is possible to be at home in the Father's house and still be away from your Heavenly Father. You say, preacher, how can you say that? I'll tell you how I can say that. Because according to the Word of God, you cannot be right with God and wrong with your brothers. Amen. How can a man say he loves God who is not seen when he can't love his brother who he has seen? Amen. And this eldest son was not right with his brother. And because he was not right with his brother, he could not be right with his father. There are many, many prodigals in our churches. They are here, but they're not here. They are home, but their heart is somewhere else. They are near the Father in position, but they are a great way off from the Father in their heart. I see their condition. One is lost in a far country. One is lost in the Father's house. Not only do I see their condition, but I see their conviction. Number two, I see their conviction. It is interesting when you consider these three stories. The story of the sheep and the story of the silver and the story of the son. You see salvation from both sides of the picture. In the story of the sheep and the silver, we see salvation from God's side. God searches for the sheep and God illuminates the house till He finds the silver. God is actively involved in salvation. But when we get to the story of the son, we see salvation from man's side. You see, God seeks for us and God searches for us and God wants us to be saved. But it is up to us to come to ourselves and to head toward the Father if we're going to be saved. You see, we have a responsibility. Every person has a responsibility. I want you to notice this. One of the boys made a realization. One of them made a realization in verse 17. The Bible says, and when he came to himself. Do you see it in verse 17? I think it is safe to say that there was a moment of repentance in this young man's life. The word repent means to change one's mind. And that is exactly what this young man did. In fact, the Bible even tells us when it happened. It says when he came to himself. There was a point in time where the Bible says he came to himself. It is almost like he was blind to what he was doing before this. It is almost like the Bible is saying to us he was not in his right mind up to this point. He was blind to what he was doing. Sin had blinded him. Hey, I'm not making an excuse for sin, but I am saying that sin will blind you. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, God, hey, I believe is the one that opened up this young man's eyes, and he opens up our eyes the same way. And it is through the method and the mode of conviction. Do you know what God does for us at the moment of conviction? God takes the blinders off and he lets us see some things we couldn't see before. You know, people that are in sin, up until the point that they have an encounter with God, they are perfectly fine with their sin. Their sin doesn't bother them. In fact, they rather enjoy it sometimes. And they live the way they live because that's the way they want to live. And they do what they do because, well, that's what they want to do. And they're perfectly fine and happy doing it. But then one day, Then one day they hear a gospel message. Then one day they hear a gospel song. Somebody gives them a gospel track. And for the very first time, something happens. That blinder comes off. And they say, oh, now wait a minute. I've never thought about it like this before. And they start doing something they've never done before. They start worrying about their sin. They've never thought about their soul before, going to heaven or going to hell. They didn't really care. They didn't care enough to think about it. But for the first time in their life, they say, oh, now wait a minute. I'm going to hell. Amen. And the blinders come off. That's what God does when He brings conviction into our life. And do you know what happens at the moment of conviction when we make this realization, when the light goes off? We are faced with a decision. And the decision is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You can either reject Him and continue in your sins on your road to hell, or you can stop dead in your tracks and head back toward the Father's house and ask Him for forgiveness and get saved by the good grace of God. But you will make a decision. There is no such thing as not making a decision. No decision is to reject Jesus Christ. The Bible not only tells us when this happens, but it tells us what it took to make it happen. I want you to see the Bible says in verse 14, and when He had spent all. Do you see it in verse 14? I believe the phrase spent all speaks volumes. It tells us this young man was reaching the end of his rope. He was hitting rock bottom. It was not until he hit rock bottom that he came to this realization. As long as there was money in his pocket, as long as there were friends around him, he did not feel like he needed a father. But when he spent all, some things started changing in his mind. Allow me there to say there are a lot of people that have to get to this place of spent all before they turn their eyes toward God. As long as they are playing with sin, as long as they are enjoying sin, they do not feel like they need God. But you know what happens from time to time? From time to time, God lets the bottom of your world fall out, and He lets you hit the bottom. Because when you hit the bottom, there's only one way to look, and that's up. Now let me slow down right here for a second and ask you a question. What is it going to take to get you to look up? What's the all that you've got to spend before God gets your attention? What are you going to have to sacrifice before you come to a realization? When this young man came to himself, he changed his mind about his situation. He repented. You say, how do you know he repented? I know he repented because he started confessing some things right there in the hog pen. In fact, the very first realization he made is that the way he thought about Dad up until this point wasn't just exactly right. Oh my, I just realized something. It's better back at the Father's house. It wasn't so bad back at home now that I think about it. Amen. Oh, that crazy preacher, he wasn't as crazy as I thought he was. He begins confessing. Dad ain't even there, and he's confessing stuff about Dad. Servants got it better back at Dad's house. I'm going to Dad, and I'm going to say, Dad, I messed up. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. I'd like to be just one of your servants. Because it's better at your house than it is down here. In fact, when he makes this realization, he makes three determinations in his heart. He makes three statements. He says, I will, three times. He says, I will arise, I will go, and I will say. Something happened in his life. He made a realization this day. I see that there was a realization made, but watch this. I not only see that, but I see there was a request made. Oh, we think now about the elder son again. Verse 28 says, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." The story tells us the father watched for the younger son to come home. Daily he would look and long for the son to come home. The elder brother, however, was unconcerned. He was not looking for his brother to come home. In fact, when his brother came home, he didn't even know it happened till somebody else told him. He had to be told at the end of the day what happened. When the older brother finds out the younger brother comes home and the celebration is for him, he refuses to go inside. You see, I think he not only had a pride problem, I think he had an anger problem too. In the story, he's angry. You know who he's angry at? He's angry at the youngest son for coming home. But wait a minute. He's angry at God too. He's angry at the Father. That's a picture of God, right? He's angry at the Father. He's mad at Dad. "Dad, you never had a celebration like this for me." He found out they killed the fatted calf and he said, "Dad, you've never even killed a goat for me." He always wanted a celebration. Now his brother got one. He was angry at his brother for getting all the attention. He was angry at his brother for getting gifts. And he was angry at Dad for giving him all these things. And now the same father that ran out to meet the youngest son now comes out of the house to entreat the oldest son. "Come into the house, son. Change your mind, son. Change your heart, boy. Hey, it's meet that we celebrate. Your brother was dead and he's alive again. Come on, son. Look at it from my perspective." And we've got some elder sons and elder sisters in our churches today. They don't want nothing good happening for nobody. And when something good happens for you and you get a little bit of attention, they get upset about it because they didn't get that attention. And they're in the Father's house, but they're mad at their brother and they're mad at God at the same time. "Why didn't God bless me like that? Why didn't God do for me like that? God, why did you give them a new car and you didn't give me a new car? God, how come they got a pay raise at work and I didn't get a pay raise at work? God, how come they're not struggling, but my family, we're struggling? Why are they never sick and we're always sick?" You see, one boy came to a realization, but the other did not. And the father requested of him, "Come in." He entreats him, "Come in." I see their condition. I see their conviction. Number three, I'm out of here. I see the celebration. There are three words that summarize each of these three stories: the story of the sheep, the story of the silver, the story of the son. The three words are this: lost, found, and rejoice. I see that one son was welcomed home, verse 20 through 24. Boy, if there's ever been a homecoming, this was a homecoming. The father ran to his son. He welcomed his son. He honored his son. He prepared a celebration for his son. In fact, I find it interesting. Y'all stick with me for a minute. They're just going to get the food ready. But I need you to stay with me. I want you to see something right here. The youngest son comes to the house. He's got the speech all planned out. "Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me one of thy hired servants." He probably said that over and over, heading back from the far country. "Father, forgive me. I'm no more worthy. Make me one of your hired servants." And he practiced it, and he practiced it, and he practiced it. But if you read chapter 15, verse 20 through verse 24, he never got the opportunity to get all the speech out. Dad never let him. Dad was too busy hugging him and kissing him and putting a robe on him and commanding him to start a celebration. Can I say that there may be somebody here today? You need to do like this youngest son. You need to come home. And you say, well, I don't know what I'll tell God. You just come. He ain't worried about your speech anyways. He don't care about your speech. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to battle with doubting my salvation. And one of the things I worried about is if I said everything right, it's a glad day in my life when I realized it doesn't matter what I said. I just come to God, and that was good enough for Him. You say, I don't know what to tell God. I don't know what to tell my family. I don't know what to say. Hey, just come. Just come. Everything the younger son hoped to find in the far country, he found it in the father's house. He wanted freedom, but the far country didn't bring him freedom. But there was freedom at home. He wanted happiness in the far country, but the happiness was not in the far country. The happiness was in the Father's house. They're having a celebration. And everything you hope to find in this world and the world promised you, you can find it at home.
That's right.
In fact, this boy's changed. When he left, this is what he said, Father, give me. But now he comes home and he says, Father, make me. And there's some people this morning, they need to come and say, God, I need you to forgive me. I need you to save me. And you know what you'll find? You'll find a loving Father that welcomes you home, cleans you up, puts a robe of righteousness on you, puts a ring on your hand and makes you part of the family. So I don't deserve that. No, you don't. But if this boy got what he deserved, there'd have been a funeral in this chapter, not a celebration. But he didn't get what he deserved. But watch this. One was welcomed home and one withdrew from home. Verse 28 still says he would not go in. I told you the three words that summarize this chapter are lost, found, and rejoice. I challenge you, you look in this chapter. Everybody in these three stories rejoiced except for one person. The shepherd was excited when he found the lost sheep. The woman was excited when she found the lost silver. In fact, she called her friends over and they had a party. The youngest son was excited when he come back home. The servants were excited. The friends were excited. The father was excited. Everybody's excited. Except for one eldest brother who was away from God in his heart and refused to go in. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes for just a second. When I began to prepare this message, I realized something. I realized that God was really giving me two messages, not one. Two stories, not one. I wonder if there's a younger son in the building this morning. And today you're in the far country. Today you're away from God. This morning you're not even saved. But today God has taken a blinder off of your eyes and let you see something that you've not seen before or not seen in a long time. And that is the fact that you need Him. Can I say that eternity is too long and hell is too hot for you to keep playing around in the hog pen? And today's the day you come home. You say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Hey, let me just say get up out of your pew and come down to this altar. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. There's some younger sons in the building today, and you need to be saved. But then we also preached a message to the elder son. I wonder if there's somebody here, and you are saved, but you're not right with God. And you're away from God. It could be that you've never even left this house. But still yet you've strayed. And this morning you want to come find forgiveness. You're tired of missing out on the celebration. You're tired of missing out on the joy. And you want to come make things right with God today. I wonder while we wait if there's anybody that needs to pray. Anybody that needs to come.